Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Jay Billis, he lays out some options for the 76ers at pick three. A lot of people think it comes down to two people. You can make the case it's four, but a lot of people say it's Ace Bailey or VJ Edgecombe. Let's listen to Billis. I think this was two or three days ago.
I think it's a choice between VJ Edgecombe of Baylor and Ace Bailey of Rutgers. Bailey is, he's, you know, 6'8 or so, has a 7-foot wingspan. He's got the higher ceiling as a player. He averaged like 18 points a game. He's a really tough shot maker. He can take challenge shots and make them, and he can create his own. You can sometimes question his shot selection. I tend to look at that as supreme confidence. But he's got the highest ceiling of players that'll be available at number three.
That's Billis recently. I mean, we'll see, which I would go Bailey because to me I went upside over short-term ready to rock and roll because I don't trust Embiid. Now, with that said, a lot of people, including Shams, and he said this yesterday on ESPN, thinks this draft starts at three because everybody knows, you know, the way the first two picks are going to go with Flagg and Dylan Harper. So everyone says this pick from an intrigue standpoint starts at three. Let's listen to Shams yesterday. He frankly expects kind of a wild night tonight.
The draft starts at 3, 4, 5. And I would say what people can prepare for, I think there's going to be a lot of movement this year in the draft. I think there'll be picks flying across the board. Could be, you know, as early as the top six, could be in the lottery. I'm hearing so many conversations that start really at pick 3, 4 down. And a lot of teams are telling me, even when we get to the pick, we're not just making a selection. We're listening to a bunch of teams making calls. And so I think that will be a theme of the draft as well.
We'll get Spike's perspective in the next couple minutes on who he wants the Sixers to get at three or what he wants the Sixers to do at three. Because I know he's been laying out there the possibility of a trade, which is the kind of thing Shams was talking about there. Look, you can weigh in. Who or what do you want? 215-592-9494 and reaction on the Phillies last night. And also, let's not let Fritz off the hook. And the guy basically reported Bryce Harper's about to play in a game in 2 hours. And then he like, talk about an oaf moment. Devin, if that doesn't define oaf, oh, Bryce about to play. Oh, Bryce isn't about to play.
It's a tough look.
Like to keep some pressure on
it.
Joe here.
For
too.
What?
Ben, if you're in Joe's situation when he was just on vacation with a new friend, a potential new friend.
Who's that?
Well, you're on vacation, you're hanging with Fred.
You're saying Fred's my new friend?
The Fred relationship is growing.
It's growing.
It's blossoming. Mm-hmm. And then
we've been buddies for years.
You're in a swimming situation.
I thought they were best friends.
We are. It's a Wikipedia.
Isn't there a toilet issue?
Last year we learned their relationship blossomed into a best friend level relationship, but they hadn't been in a swimming situation before.
Uh-huh.
Now they've been in a swimming situation, and the best friends, Fred has seen Joe struggling with the swimming.
Uh-huh.
He's seen Joe fearful to step off the back of the boat just into calm, easy water.
Ben, I don't jump in water.
Instead, I
just don't do it.
It's understandable.
It's not understandable. Thank you. No, I just, I have
Ben, not use the ladder to lower himself into the pool. And now we've also learned that that is what he does instead of jumping into
Correct.
The shallow end of the pool. So the Fred relationship, in my mind, could be in jeopardy.
Come on.
Because now the true Joe is shining through. And remember, we're talking Fred Barnett here.
I think he knows I'm a wuss. He went across the middle. I didn't. And by the way, swimming, not one of the things me versus Fritz. If you notice, I don't have that as one of the Fox sports. All right, let's talk to Spike Eskin. He's the boss of Jack Fritz and knows that it was outrageous. Spike, outrageous yesterday when, I mean, this was an oaf moment. I know he's your boy. But, I mean, he reports Bryce Harper's going to play until he reports he's not? What was that nonsense? Hello, Spike.
By the way, I am not the boss of Jack Fritz. I am a partner of Jack Fritz. I know we see things a little bit differently about how our shows are run, put people's names in the show, so on and so forth. But I just want to be clear that Jack is my partner, co-host, and producer.
No,
I am not the boss.
I'm playing around. But what was up with that? He's like, Bryce is about to play in 2 hours. What was that nonsense?
Wait, Jack said Bryce is about
yes!
to play? No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He misunderstood us. No, he misunderstood us.
Well, of course he misunderstood you, but by extension, he gave the impression of the audience, to you and Ike, that he was about to play.
Well, yeah, and we were mad at Jack for
good.
About 2 minutes, and
good.
Then, you know, then we took it back.
Don't be defending him here. Come on, man.
Well, cause he's my guy.
Oh, for the... Well, then why isn't Richie ever siding with me on anything? The hell, man.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother matter.
Does Richie ever sign?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
All right, Spike, let's talk some hoops, man. Sixers have the third pick tonight. I get the impression you want them to trade it and chase a title in the short term with Embiid. Do I have that right?
Well, I mean, yes. I guess I would say that I think you can probably do both. I think the point to me is that I think if all we're getting out of this third pick is whoever we take with the third pick, it feels like a missed opportunity just because of how the draft has laid out. The draft being pretty clearly one tier, two tier of, you know, tier one is Cooper Flagg, tier two is Dylan Harper, and then tier three seems to be about four or five guys. And unless they are way in love with one of these guys, it would seem to me that there's an opportunity to add to, look at the very least, get another pick and move back, but optimally to be able to get a player that can play this year, move back and add a rookie, I think would be my optimal situation. Jeez.
Spike, what about this
Can
one?
Let me get more specific with that. Does that look like for Spike? Best case looking scenario. That sounds having your cake and eating it too, but I like it.
Well, so I think the two most, it seems, I'm sort of feeling the two most likely scenarios are, and maybe there's a distant third, is Charlotte seems to really like Edgecombe. So if you can get Charlotte to trade up one spot, you trade down to four and you get an extra pick out of it. I don't know if there's anybody on Charlotte that I am interested in. But more likely, it sort of looks like Brooklyn is loading up to try to trade up. They've now got four picks in this first round. They've also got future picks, but they also have Cam Johnson, who I would love to have. So, you know, there has been some talk that the Nets would be willing to take on Paul George, and if you're going to need salary back for that to happen. So if it's Cam Johnson, somebody else, the eighth pick for the third pick, I would be pretty interested in that. And then if Washington's really interested in Ace Bailey, which has been sort of reported that that's where he wants to go, there could be a pick situation there. I don't know if there's any other Washington players that I'm interested in, but to get another pick to move back to six, I think, is an option as well.
Spike, let's explore this, and maybe it's a non-option with the Sixers over the cap. Are the Sixers capable of just trading out of the first round and just adding a veteran player with salary? I'm just curious if that's on the table. And then second part of this is, you know, Kevin Love was someone that was acquired for a first overall pick. Jrue Holiday was acquired for the sixth overall pick when the Sixers traded him. So what level player would it be if they just trade out completely? And is that even feasible with the salary cap?
Well, you would have to include a player. So because of depending on who you're obtaining, you would have to match salary. So the Sixers are not in a position where they can just trade the pick for a player. And that's when getting a really, really good player who's making, say, I think Cam Johnson making 25, but, a really, really good player.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's already on their second contract, let's say they're making $40 million, well, then it gets complicated because you don't have $40 million in junk salary lying around. You do have, I suppose you could say you have Paul George, but like that's not like six different players making $6 million that a team could do something with. That's a real legitimate salary and contract. So it would be pretty complicated, I think, without including one of Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, or Joel Embiid if you are trading that pick for a player making any significant money. And we have not learned yet, just in terms of aggregating some of the smaller salaries at this point, I suppose we will learn soon enough, but Kelly Oubre has not opted in officially, and he makes about $8 million. Andre Drummond has not opted in officially, and he makes $5 million. And then Eric Gordon, who we don't think is going to opt in. We think he's going to opt out and re-sign for cap reasons. But so the Sixers really don't have a lot of salary to trade right now.
Spike, if the Sixers just pick a player at three, none of that trade stuff, if they just pick a player, who do you prefer it be? Who do you prefer it be, and who do you think it will be?
It's funny. Like, I haven't fallen in love with any of these guys. I guess at the end of the day, I'm probably like most other people at this point where I have a slight preference towards Edgecombe. I think they would like to get out of this draft with either he or Trey Johnson or Knipple. That would be my gut that it's one of those three guys. There's a couple of other guys to look out for in the lottery that I think fit the profile of somebody that could help them, though they're both pretty raw. And that is Carter Bryant and Cullen Murray-Boyles, who are both like long, athletic, defensive-oriented, not guards like Edgecombe. So I think you could trade back and maybe get one of those guys as well. But if they just sit at three, I guess I'm like Edgecombe with anybody else. So I wouldn't be angry with Trey Johnson either.
Spike, does Ace Bailey have a better chance to be the next big thing or blow up and fail miserably?
I think it's more likely. I think the most likely thing is he hangs around the league as a guy that people argue about how good he is for a long time, like most likely on bad teams. I think that's the most likely outcome. I don't watch him or see any of his measurables or think about his skills and think about a superstar. I just don't. Rudy Gay is a player that we talked about him being a little bit like. He's a little bit like Brandon Ingram. I don't see it. I don't get it. He's not an outrageous shooter. He's not an outrageous athlete. He's not a particularly good ball handler. He has the ability to be really good on defense.
He's acting like an outrageous shooter or an outrageous athlete or an outrageous ball handler. That's a really interesting point. He shouldn't be allowed to act that way if you don't have the play to back it up.
Well, it could hurt him. You know, like that could hurt him. I also think we should all be prepared, by the way, for the possibility that Morey just really likes him and nobody knows it, and they just pick him and keep him.
Totally.
And we should also be prepared for the possibility that whoever they take at three is not who they're going to end up with by the time the lottery is over. So if you have a guy that you really like tonight and they take him at three, like, we probably won't know that they're trading back until whoever they are trading back with is at their pick and they see which players are available. Mm. So it could be a confusing half hour. If you remember when the Sixers took Elfrid Payton after they already had Michael Carter-Williams, and they ended up trading him for Dario, but it could be a confusing, you know, 35 minutes tonight.
And Bridges was another example going from 10 to 20.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Spike, final thing, me versus Fritz on Sunday at 11:10 a.m., our first competition, this one in golf. I know that yesterday I filmed...
Golf,
yes.
Not Jared.
Golf.
I filmed...
Jared, golf. No, it's golf. G-O-F-F.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. I'm from Philadelphia and proud of it.
You damn right.
Spike, yeah. I filmed the front nine of Riverwinds yesterday to prepare over the next 4 or 5 days. I'm assuming Fritz didn't. Do you think he's ready for this?
Oh, here's the thing. He's going to murder you in golf. He's really going to murder you. The only two things that you have sort of a chance in, I believe, are tennis, because I don't think Jack has ever played tennis. And ironically,
didn't Jack
baseball,
play tennis in high school, Spike?
I don't ever remember him
I
saying
think
he played.
Played
tennis.
For his school.
Well, I have no
Jack's,
idea.
Jack's older than we all talk about at this point. So, like, that was what, almost 20 years ago at this point? So,
well, almost, not quite.
All right, yeah, so tennis, yeah. And what's the other one?
Actually, baseball.
Of course,
I don't think you're going to swing.
Unlike Rojas.
Yeah.
Well, that
I don't
was
think
the
you're
problem
swing.
For this upon sign up. Like, how do we force him to actually prove he can do the physical?
He's a
challenge?
Pitcher. Just throw Jack, strikes, man. Let's not
Jack's
let him off the
throw
hook.
Strike.
Throw strikes.
I love Jack. I'm confident in him. However, I did see him pitch to Elliott in 2020 at a baseball field in South Philadelphia, and he started sweating very quickly.
Yep.
And he couldn't throw strikes.
He didn't have a catcher for that. It is much harder to throw to an empty backstop than to a catcher, just for what it's worth.
I agree with that.
Wait, so who's catching for
Someone's going to, Ben Davis may be catching, but we're going to have someone catch.
Possibly.
But he had no catcher
agree.
For that Elliott thing,
That'd
and that
awesome.
Is harder.
That'd be great.
Ben, have you but, assumed the position lately?
What's that?
Well, have you assumed
I mean, I think it should be Ben Davis,
obviously. It's like riding a bike, John.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's just I feel the same way about it.
Just like Spike
John,
and I.
Johnny played in the major
it's
leagues.
Like Spike and I at AMLL. It's like Spike and I at
Middletown. You forget how to catch a football?
Oh, man.
Well, I agree, James, not having any catchers. We both know Jack well enough to know, though, if the first two pitches aren't strikes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is where I think we get into a very,
yeah,
very
it's definitely a mental
situation.
Thing for Fritz more than a physical thing.
Yeah, I agree. And that's when I'm going to start squatting down like Pete Rose or Ricky Henderson and, you know, shorten that strike zone. All right, Spike.
Loser, man.
It is a real loser way to go about it. We got to be real about it.
Final thing on the draft. So we had a poll about 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. Scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the draft? With 10 being the highest and the best. And a 1 or a 2 won the poll. And it had like 50% or something. Where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 on excitement?
I'm a little bit 6, something like that. It's exciting because I think the draft is exciting when you have a lottery pick. And we haven't had a lottery pick in a long time. Now we earned it in maybe the worst way possible. But I'm pretty excited. I get where people are, though. I mean, it's not only that last year was bad, it's that it was the exclamation point on a few years of just brutal playoff losses. And I understand why people aren't optimistic. I understand why they're angry. I understand why they're not excited. But I think tomorrow we'll most likely have a young player to talk about, and hopefully we can turn the page a little bit on what this season actually will look like.
Yep, I agree. All right, Spike, stay well, man. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys.
Everyone
thanks,
check Spike. Out Spike, Ike, and Jack today. Of course, 2 to 6, their show every day, 2 to 6. And in many ways today, they'll be leading you into the NBA draft, which is 8 o'clock tonight.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.